This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
After 12 kids were found shackled in their Cali home. Speaking of California, mud still the issue for Montecito. And a lot of conversation about vulgar language and the rippling effects coming out of the White House. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. So I say that this show is about the buzz in the land. By the way, you're always invited to throw in your 2 cents at 855-266-5283. Let me throw those numbers at you again. 855-266-KATE. So let's start with what's gone on at the White House. It's still more conversation about the president's meeting with members of Congress and the react coming outside of that meeting. So meaning a couple of things. One, a big thing, as a result of that meeting, the Democrats are saying, you know, we're not freaking out about what's happening with the government and the clock ticking because we don't feel very good about the language that was used the other day and the conversation and where it was headed. So if we can't come to an agreement and we're just kind of playing what's going on in the government, we'll just continue to let that happen. We're just gonna keep that rolling because we don't wanna jump in and work with this guy. We're not gonna do that, and that means that the numbers of votes will topple. So that's not good. Because tick, 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 you got to fund the government. It's interesting. The polls that have been taken and what the polls have said lately, including this, the YouGov poll says Republicans widely back Trump over Bannon. Then there is this other poll that says that 61% of Republicans satisfy with the direction of the U.S. So for Republicans, there is no problem, right? How is there a problem? If that's what these polls are saying, they're going in a different direction. By the way, testify or not to testify, that's something that's hanging in the balance. So senior White House aide and President Donald Trump confidant Hope Hicks is going to meet with the House Intelligence Committee regarding their investigation into the Russian election interference, probably by Friday or before. Trump's longest-serving political aide, now communications director, will be questioned about any knowledge he has of contacts between the Russians and other Trump associates. Her testimony is significant as she will be the second sitting White House official known to have testified before the House Intelligence Committee after Jared Kushner, of course. So what comes out of that testimony? They're going to interview a lot of different people. They're going to interview White House chief strategist, former Steve Bannon, and Corey Lewandowski. So Robert Mueller, who's the special counsel into this whole Russian hacking thing, is not stopping in one place, two places, or three places. I guess he's trying to jam in as many interviews as possible. Because of what I said about the polls, and it's all about in Washington getting reelected, feeling out the crowd, what's happening, who's running, that's what you talk about. Who's running from the law, etc. And I love this quote I saw about Jeb Bush talking about Mitt Romney, saying, I hope he runs. So the former Florida governor is expressing support for Mitt Romney and a potential candidate for the Utah Senate seat, saying he should. I think he should do it. He should run for it. I don't know. Would he want to do that? Orrin Hatch is retiring at the end of the year. And it's been reported a bunch that Romney could throw his hat in if he were to step aside. So maybe he runs for it. I think he would have a great chance of probably winning that. Although, would he be close with the president? His tweet from earlier in the day on Monday was, the poverty of an aspiring immigrant's nation of origin is as irrelevant as their race. The sentiment attributed to POTUS is inconsistent with America's history and antithetical to American values. May our memory of Dr. King buoy our hope for unity, greatness, and charity for all. So he has been critical of the president in the past, but they reconciled enough to meet on a bunch of occasions in late 2016 because President Trump was considering him for Secretary of State, if you remember that. So I don't think they necessarily have a bad relationship. If he decides to run, I mean, let's see what happens if he decides to run in Utah for that seat, which I'd say there's a great chance that he does do that. I think there's a really great chance. Meanwhile, running for president, there is a push to find the right woman on the Democratic side. A name that comes up a lot is Kamala Harris, that she may be the one. She's a freshman Democratic senator from California, and she replaced the retiring Senator Barbara Boxer, and she became the first African-American in that position. So I don't know how serious it is. I just know that there's a lot of speculating as to who could run, and that's a name that constantly keeps coming up on the radar. So there is definitely something there to the something about that conversation that's starting to happen with Kamala Harris. And I have no great inside knowledge. I've asked a few people, and they say it's been suggested again and again and again. So it's not impossible. This seems impossible to me. What parents abuse, tie up, shackle their kids, older kids and younger kids? Who does that? From 2 years old to 29. One of them escaped, called 911, police came in and discovered the horror show in a house 70 miles east of L.A. So a bunch of the kids were really adult age. The parents, David Turpin and Louise Turpin, were arrested and charged with 9 counts of torture, 10 counts of child endangerment. Their bond for their bail, I don't think they get bonded out, $9 million. $9 million. And how long did they have them in that situation? It looked like to the people who lived nearby that they were starving. They were so pale and so frail. Oh, it's just despicable. Hang through.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt,
Do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend's Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
No attorneys to plead my case. No OAS to send me into outer space. At my fingers, I'll be true with diamonds and gold. But that ain't gonna help me now. Trouble, yeah, trouble now. I'm trouble, yeah. I just turn my eyes down. I'm trouble, yeah, trouble now. I'm trouble, yeah.
Coming up, one of my favorite architects, Peter Lagomasarino, wrote a cool book called The Fire Escape. And it's one of my favorite conversations, and we'll talk to him and my pal, Del Toro McNeil. I don't think there's, in my list of positive people, he may be the most positive person, might be the most positive person I know. I think he's paying attention to some of this nonsense we've been talking about, and it is that House of Horrors that I mentioned. And then in California, you also have, sadly, the mudslides that just devastated way too many families, way too many families. And I'll tell you what, to me, what's going to be interesting politically speaking is, what is Steve Bannon and Corey Lewandowski going to have to say to testify at the House Intelligence Committee? What's going to come out of that? And they're pretty, I don't know. And when I say I don't know, so you look at Steve Bannon. He steps down as executive chair of Breitbart News following the big fallout with the president over the anti-Trump book, Fire and Fury, inside the Trump White House. Now he's going behind closed doors to be interviewed by congressional investigators about colluding and Russian meddling and all of that with the Trump campaign into the election. I mean, and I'm sure he's going to be questioned over information that was in that Wolf book, because in the book, Bannon slams the president's son, Don Jr., and Jared Kushner and campaign manager Paul Manafort. calling that June 2016 meeting in Trump Tower with Russian attorney during the campaign as treasonous and unpatriotic. So here's the question. Bannon also said Trump Jr. would crack like an egg in any possible public testimony about this situation. So now Twitter is, of course, the ground of trash talking, and Trump Jr. fired back on Twitter, calling Bannon an opportunist who brought a nightmare of backstabbing, harassing, leaking, and lying to the White House. And there are people who would confirm that. I think the idea of Sloppy Steve, you know, makes sense because they were sloppy. It was sloppy no matter what to have somebody who was just walking around picking off quotes, which is so shocking. And they call it a hard pass. When you've got a pass to the White House or the Pentagon or to the Hill, it's called a hard pass. And people know who you are. They have to check you out. I've been in the White House a couple of different times in the Pentagon and on the Hill, and always go through the rigmarole of the check to get the credentials, which are numbered, etc., and are checked out before you even go. And here he was, had the credential, had the access, and nobody questioned it. So, Sloppy Steve seems to fit. Let's put it that way. So we'll see what comes out of the Capitol Hill grilling. And you know that's going to be messy. No matter what, it's going to be messy in some way. It's going to be, for sure. And then the mess of immigration, which has been a mess long before this current president or anybody else questioning it. It's a decades, decades, decades old argument of what do we do and how do we do it and what is it that makes this situation palatable? How do we do that? So there's been backlash against the president's comments after the bipartisan meeting on immigration last week. The president came out really swinging on Monday afternoon, blasting Senate Minority Whip Dick Durbin, saying Senator Dickie Durbin totally misrepresented what was said at the DACA meeting. Deals, and he tweeted this, deals can't get made when there's no trust. Durbin blew DACA and is hurting our military. A small group of Republicans and Democrats were in the closed-door meeting on Thursday at the White House, including Durbin and Lindsey Graham. So Durbin said and tweeted out on Friday, I cannot believe that in the history of the White House, that in the Oval Office, rather, any president has spoken the words that I personally heard our president speak yesterday. President Trump said things that were hate-filled, vile, and racist. He used those words repeatedly. He said, the president said the language was tough, but it was not the language used. And he says he never said anything derogatory about Haitians, other than Haiti is obviously a very poor and troubled country. He said some of this has been made up by the Democrats. So there's just been an outcry for the past 5 or 6 days about the Republicans and the Democrats prompting the press to make these counterclaims, you know, when they're talking about that he's a racist. And he said, I'm not a racist. I'm the least racist person you've ever interviewed. I can tell you that. Which we said, the talk media news people that we talk to agree that that's not what they believe happened. So comprehensive immigration reform looks like it is just hanging there on the ground or hanging by a thread after everything that's gone on. Because they've got to increase money for border security and changes to the lottery and the chain migration programs in exchange for permanent protection for Dreamers. That was part of the deal. And now it's in trouble again. So it might not happen. Might not happen. This is my nightmare. I don't know if any of you have dealt with this, but it's so sad to read this story about this Florida boy. 6 years old. What does he die from? Rabies. He was, after he was scratched by a sick bat. Oh, heartbreaking. What happened was, I guess he touched a sick bat. His father told him not to. And then he got the rabies. His name was Riker Roke. And he was at a hospital in Orlando. And he was placed in a medically induced coma as part of the protocol because they've got an experimental treatment they use on people affected by the rabies virus. He found a rabid bat, put it in a bucket, told his, and see, here's the mistake. I'm just saying it's not, it wasn't on purpose, but it's awful. So, Henry Roke found a rabid bat, put it in a bucket, told his son not to touch it, but he did anyway. The father said he washed his wound, but he didn't take it to the hospital because he cried when he told him he'd have to get shots. Oh, a week later, he had numb fingers, a headache. And then that was it. His parents took him to the hospital. Oh, boy, oh, boy. So it's just an awful, awful, terrible situation. Just the cutest, cutest little boy. And rabies is fatal once the symptoms develop, almost always. The vaccine is given after a wound, but prior to the symptoms almost always prevents the disease. So, you know, that was always that whole thing about getting rabies shots. And the number of rabies deaths, of course, has declined. More than 100 annual deaths around the 1900s dropped to just one or two in the 1990s. So it's not something you hear of very much. I mean, there was always those conversations about rabid dogs and being careful about dogs. But a bat, pulling a bat, wow, pulling a bat in a bucket and then sadly having the little boy touch it, and then look what happens just like that. Wow. So quickly. I can remember going with my family to the Poconos, and there was bats everywhere, and they'd always tell us to get in the house and be very careful, careful, careful. And that was the whole rabies thing. Because what if the bat had rabies, and somehow it touched you? Sad story. All right, stay with us. We're going to lighten the load a little bit anyway. On the flip side, talk a little cool, cool, cool architecture with Peter L. Stay with us.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered, from business deals gone wrong to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience, serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, "Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?" And I said, "Sure, Ryan," and in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
Margomercina, who's written a book called The Fire Escape, and it's so ironic because I just spent some time in San Antonio and photographed the coolest fire escape I've ever seen for Peter, and we had an off-the-air conversation about it, and I'm going to let him tell you about it, but it's so interesting because his book is basically about architectural photography and whatnot, and I think I'm not an architect, but if I could have picked a second career, it would have been architecture, and I always look up and look at buildings and unique things, and I think he has such a unique take here. Peter, thanks so much for coming on.
You're welcome. It's funny. Everybody's a wannabe architect. Everybody wants to do stuff. I get that all the time. Oh, I want to design my own house, but like we do a lot more than that. It's buildings and things like that, and I do a lot of commercial and industrial stuff for Boeing and stuff for the Air Force. So I get around. I'm licensed in 23 states. So it's like keeping up with all the paperwork is fun. But fire escapes, you know, that one you saw that we talk about, that was the first one. That was kind of the impetus. And it's ironic, like you say, that was the one you saw. That was the shadows on that one were so great. I'm like, I got to do something. And I've just been doing it forever, taking pictures about 11 years, I think, now. So.
Wow. And so because of that, is that what led you to, okay, I've got to do this, the fire escape, a visual survey?
To be honest, my first book was The Confessions in a Crown Vic, and it was kind of the words. And this was the follow-on picture book after writing 528 pages, A Critique of the American Dream. But what it is that, to me, The Fire Escape and Confessions are tied together because they deal with the issue of pluralism in America. And Confessions is about multi-religion and multi-ideas and different parties all coming together, the American experiment. And The Fire Escape is the imagery of that. It's the light, shade, shadow, brick scoring, everything that you see. And when the shadow goes through the tread of the fire escape on the wall, it casts lines at a different angle. So you got different Cartesian coordinates. Cartesians are like the X and the Y. And, you know, the Romans designed things with the Cardo and the Decumanus for the north, south, and the east, west street. And that's kind of the idea is, you see all these different cross things. And I thought to myself after I was writing about this is that that's what it is. Confessions was the words of what pluralism is about and where we should be. And Fire Escape is the imagery follow on for that. I mean, that's where really it came from. I didn't really get that subconsciously until I started writing about what I'm going to say here, you know?
Yeah, and so the Fire Escape, it's kind of, and you talk about this, kind of frozen in time, isn't it?
Yeah, that's kind of the other reason I was interested in this, because we walk right by these things and we just kind of ignore them, yet they're all over our cinema, in our movies, in our, you know, they're in our collective unconscious about what is the culture of, like, big cities. You got to build small and compact and you got to get people out of them. And, you know, then comes along the Triangle Shirt Fire, where I think it was 176 people were killed, and women, the girls were jumping out the window because they didn't have a place to go. So, you know, then the legislatures of the states, particularly in that case, New York, came about and said, well, we got to do something about this. So you can't have locks on your doors. You have to have a second means of egress. And part of it was in 2012, they don't allow you to put fire escapes on tight buildings that are trying to be grandfathered. You can't put them anymore. They have to be part of the building. You can have a stair on the outside, but not a fire escape per se. And that's kind of why I did this. It was published in 12-12-12, the first edition. I did 12 cities. And the second edition, I just kept shooting them. Everywhere I traveled, I kept shooting them. And so I said, well, I got to do a second edition. So here it is, 25 cities. So some small cities, some big cities, you know, and it's actually fun. I would tell my friends, hey, be very, very quiet. I'm hunting fire escapes, you know. to go out and find them everywhere. And it's neat.
Do you have a favorite couple of them or a favorite one?
Oh, wow. I would say, you know, you'd think Chicago and New York were like the best examples, or I'd say the most variety. But actually, Portland, Oregon has some of the prettiest ones because they're like a walking city, right? You could get out, park your car, and you could walk anywhere. And so I think maybe they thought, you know, we need to make these things look good. And if you look in the book, I mean, the Portland one, I think is Portland, Oregon. That's page 85. It looks really, they're detailed, and it's not just lines and it's frills and detail and decoration on them that make them look like they're not just stuck on the front of the building, you know? So.
Yes. Yeah, so Portland, it's interesting, as you say, and we're on, and people are listening to us in Portland, and certainly they know that, and others that have been there. It is a walking city. So it's interesting that you picked that as one of the spots. And you just described that now in buildings, the fire escape obviously has died. And you say there's other symbolism, which I thought was interesting about the fire escape, and that there's something kind of, what is it, lonely about the fire escape? And I love that in my mind, I really grabbed onto that imagery that the fire escape's everyday existence, as you say, is to hang. It's just like you're kind of hanging on. And what did you mean by that?
Well, they hang there and they're like the hero complex. Their job is to get us out of the building at some time when we don't usually expect it. And it talks to us about you know, our own human condition. Like we all need each other in life, but yet we exist alone. And so we know at some point we all face, you know, the ominous point, you know, we're all going to meet death, and the fire escape is there to prevent that one time. But we all know also that the second time maybe that happens, or third or fourth or whatever, we got to go to the bottom, and there's the end, and there's a beginning and end. And that to me, what it speaks of, it's just like watching us and just waiting for that moment when we come down. And we walk right by. It's like really funny because they're there. They're everywhere. You know, it's
exactly
to me. Yeah.
Yeah, walking right by it, as we said, you know, when we talked off the air, that's what happened to me. I was speaking, and when I was walking down the Riverwalk in San Antonio, and I couldn't help but see this incredible fire escape that we mentioned at the beginning of this, and it just really caught my attention. I took some pictures of it, but everybody else was hurriedly going by. I don't think they even looked up at it, and so that speaks to what you're saying for sure. When you are out there hunting, we're hunting fire escapes, and I'm sure you still look for them as you're out and about. What I'm curious about your camera equipment, because the photographs are fabulous.
Oh, thank you. I actually, for the second edition, I bought a tilt shift, which actually, when you stand at a building and you look at it and you point the camera up, you're looking at an angle. So the bottom two points of the rectangle are closest to you, and the ones up at the top are away from you. So it looks like a trapezoid, and a tilt shift, the lens moves up and it tilts the building forward, so it looks like it's standing straight up. But they're an expensive lens, so you know, a couple grand. And I did that also to, you know, up the ante on having some better pictures. But I think what I do is, this is funny. I go on Google and I you know, rotate the XY plane, so I'm looking at all the 3D stuff. And then before I pick a city, and then I'll run up and down the streets and see what I can find, and then rotate and see the fire escapes, and I'll mark them and I'll put them in a Word document, carry them with me, so I know exactly where I'm going when I'm going to go pick them. And then of course there's always four or five that I didn't see that come up. But you find the first one and then you just kind of wander. And best time to shoot is 3 and 9. So it's the 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. because the shadows are at the right point. And it's better when it's sunny. Some of the ones, you know, I just lucked out. I got a sunny day, and some I didn't. So, but still, you get all of this variation, like these Cartesian coordinates, and those things, I don't know, somehow attract me. It's about socialization. It's about interaction. It's about all the different things that, you know, we as humans recognize, the universal things that we know. And that's what I see when I see those, all those lines, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So now I wonder, Peter, as we come to the end of this, what's next for you? Obviously, you have a thriving architectural career, and you dove into this project full force, and you can tell you have passion for photography. Will you pick another subject? Will you do something else?
Actually, I'm working on book 3, which is the window, the visual survey in 50 cities, and I just shot LA, Hollywood, Chicago, Milwaukee, Madison, South Bend, and Indianapolis in the past 3 months. And so I'll have the 50 cities, and I'm working on that one right now. But that, there's a lot of images in that, and it's going to be thicker than this one. And it just talks about reflections in windows, and, you know, the window to the soul, and looking out and looking in, and what we are and what we see on the outside. And you wouldn't think window. Well, what's a window? Well, when you see it, you're going to go, oh, you know, there's a ton of different types of windows. And so it's that one. And then the next one will be the door, which I'm going to work on with a colleague of mine in the office. And it's not going to be just America. It's going to be Europe and all the places we've traveled. So that'll be a collaboration. And then finally, the fourth would be the American downtown, which is a collaboration of all. I have probably couple hundred thousand images, so it's just a matter of sorting and finding the right ones, just all the details about our urban downtown.
Love it. Peter Lagomarsino, can't wait to see what the next couple of years brings. The Fire Escape, a visual survey, second edition, it's out. You can get it at BNN, of course, Amazon.com. Thanks so much.
Okay, great. You're welcome.
Run away, my soul, to city got a little too cold. To the hills of Ohio.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
To Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Recently, Warren Buffett has officially gone on record to say that his public speaking course was probably the greatest business class he ever took. So today, we're going to talk with a presentation skills expert who also happens to be a top-ranked peak performance expert, Delatora McNeil, about how we can take our public speaking and presentation skills to the next level. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't need that? Delatora, thanks so much for joining us.
Kate and George, thanks so much for having me. It's a tremendous honor to be with you today.
So tell us a little bit about your journey that's led you to this place of being a top speaker and also obviously a speaker trainer.
You know, this has actually been a pretty long journey for me. I started when I was 4 or 5 years old. My mom was an English teacher. She was a Sunday school teacher. So if you were going to be Olivia's son, you had to be articulate. You had to speak. So I remember getting the longest parts in the Easter play and Christmas play and all kinds of things. And so my mom raised me to be articulate. Now, I asked her years later when I became a speaker, did she know that she was raising a professional speaker? And she said, I have no clue, baby. But I give a lot of credit and honor to my mom because she was way more than a parent. She was my first mentor. And I was able to go on to do pretty good in school. I went to Florida State University. I got a bachelor's and master's degree in 5 years with a 4.0 with zero student loan debt. And I learned in college that I had leadership capabilities. And as a result of being a student leader in college, I had to do a lot of public speaking. for orientation, for residence life, for a lot of different organizations I was a member of. I had to do a lot of public speaking. And so my mentor in college was a guy by the name of Dr. Lee Jones, and he told me to get involved in Toastmasters. So interestingly enough, Kate, I became a member of Toastmasters in graduate school in college. And I started going to weekly meetings, and I kept winning the best speaker award. And I'm like, man, this is pretty cool. And so I knew one day that I wanted to be a speaker, but I'm like, I have to have a career in something first. So I came out of college and took a career working for Anderson, which is a big peak performance consulting organization. Worked there for 1 year, and that didn't work out. So I took a job at the University of South Florida, and I worked there for 2 years teaching public speaking. And I was like, man, this is what I'm supposed to do. So I taught at the university for 2 years. And in 2003, I left the university and went full-time as a speaker. And I've been full-time ever since, and I've had a chance to give over 3,000 paid presentations all around the world. I was inducted as a CSP, the Certified Speaking Professional designation. I'm one of the youngest in the world to earn that at the age of 33 when I got it. And I had a chance to just, I've created my own inspirational business reality television show called The Keynote. And this year, I was opening keynote speaker for the Toastmasters World Convention in British Columbia, Vancouver, Canada. So we've done a tremendous amount in the area of public speaking and presentation. And year to date, we've literally personally mentored over 300 C-suite executives, speakers, authors, and entrepreneurs, and helped them get a fast start in the professional speaking industry.
You know, it's interesting, Del Toro, when I hear you speak about how you got to where you are today. I mean, it's always interesting to hear where people get their quote-unquote big break. And your big break came, it sounds like, from an organization that anybody can join today, which is Toastmasters. And just as an aside, I have to tell the both of you how significant the role of Toastmasters has been in my life. I was a Toastmaster for a lot of years. I think I do well in the medium of radio because of it. There's a thing called table topics where you get put on the spot and you have to speak, you know, extemporaneously or spontaneously, which is what we're doing right now, right? But I just want to share with you guys one other thing that came out of a visit I had with I was visiting some friends in a city. They were Toastmasters. I went to their Toastmasters club. And I fell in love, love at first sight, with a woman in their club, and she's now my wife. So if you've ever thought about going to a Toastmasters club to make a dramatic change in your life, I think between the two of us we can say great things can happen there if you just show up.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what? Warren Buffett agrees with you because he actually requires all of his top business students to take a Toastmasters international course. So it's really, really remarkable. It's so funny, Greg, that you mentioned that. And that's a powerful story. I actually had a cinematographer follow me around at the World Convention because it was 20 years later after joining Toastmasters in college that I had a chance to be the opening keynote for the World Convention and speak to Toastmasters from all over the world from 120 countries. It was remarkable. So we captured that, and we're working on a documentary right now. But I firmly believe that any business professional who wants to take their presentation skills to the next level really needs to spend a little time in a Toastmasters course because it's a great organization to help you polish your public speaking and presentation skills.
Del Toro, of all the people, because you talked about this, you talked about the C-suite, the 300 C-suite people that you've really mentored, let's face it, and took them through that journey, and so many other people that you've influenced on this speaking path and teaching them presentation, you know, how to have these powerful presentations. What do you find people are the most intimidated about when you first deal with them in any of the classes or any of the retreats or anything that you hold?
It's a remarkable question, Kate. And the number one thing, if people say they have, because you gotta realize, public speaking is the number one fear in America, Canada, other parts of the world. But what I've learned and realized, and this is so powerful, I've never read this in a book, I firmly believe this. People don't have a fear of public speaking. They have a fear of other fears associated to public speaking. So in other words, people have a fear of being judged. People have a fear of being critiqued. People have a fear of not looking good. People have a fear of not sounding good. People have a fear of their own voice. People have a fear of too many eyeballs out. People have a fear of their PowerPoint going down. People have a fear of technology failing them. What I've realized is that most people, when I ask them, I say, what are you really afraid of when it comes to giving your presentation? Well, I just don't want to look bad. I don't want to sound bad. I don't want people to like my outfit. I don't want my technology to not work. So it's not a fear of public speaking. It's really, that is a blanket for like 20 other fears that people have that they kind of disguise as public speaking. And so what I help people understand is that they need to replace the word "I'm nervous" with this. You have a healthy anticipation of an incredible outcome. I guarantee you, if you begin to start to say, you know what, instead of saying, oh my gosh, those feelings I get in my stomach are nerves and I'm nervous, no, say, you know what, I'm excited, I'm pumped, I'm charged, I have a healthy anticipation of an incredible outcome, I'm getting ready to rock this presentation. And if you say that to yourself, you look in the mirror and say, I am incredible, I know my material, I know my content, I'm getting ready to go serve this audience, and they are going to get a massive amount of value out of what I have to share. When you come from that place, attitude is everything. I guarantee you, you'll present better.
We're talking with Della Toro L. McNeil. He's ranked one of the best motivational speakers in the world. And Della Toro, I want to ask you this really important question to follow up on what you just said, which is, you know, what is the cost to me if I don't do what it takes to become a better speaker? How does it impact my career? How does it impact my ability, if I'm a manager, to manage my people, to move up? And, you know, if you look at my story, it might even be impacting your personal life. I met my wife at a Toastmasters club. What are the costs of not doing what you're suggesting?
The costs are astronomical, and that's an incredible question, Greg, because here's what I firmly believe. There is a massive misconception in the business marketplace that I want to correct in this interview. Most times when I ask people, do they need to work on their public speaking and presentation skills, they say, yes, I do. But they automatically followed up with, but I don't want to be a Les Brown. I don't see myself as a Tony Robbins. I don't see myself as a Kate Delaney. I don't see myself as a Maya Angelou. I don't see myself as Oprah. And what they don't understand is that they're confusing the industry with the skill set. And you can't confuse the industry with the skill set. The truth is, public speaking and presentation is a skill. Just like negotiation is a skill. Leadership is a skill. Project management is a skill, right? Networking is a skill. Public speaking is a skill. And so if you choose to not develop this skill, it has astronomical impacts on your career, because the truth is, people that have strong presentation skills earn 65% more than those that don't. Studies also let us know that you're more promotable. You are more recession-proof. You're more cross-trainable if you have the ability to be the one to give the sales presentation, to give the summary of the meeting, to give the analysis of the activity, to be the one to rally the team. If you are the one in your organization that can give the presentation, you're seen as more credible, more confident, more valuable to the organization. And the truth is, even in everyday life, whether we're parents, whether we're dating, whether we're on Facebook Live, whether we're on Twitter, whether we're on Instagram, we're all doing public speaking every single day, whether you're in front of an audience of one or whether you're in front of an audience of 100,000. It does not matter. Every day we're using the skill, whether we realize it or not. When you go into the post office and you ask for your package to be shipped and you're speaking to it somewhere on the other side of the counter and 10 people are behind you waiting, that's public speaking. So the truth is, we're constantly doing it, whether we realize it or not. Every time a waiter or waitress comes up to you and tells you about the restaurant and tells you about the specials, that was a speech. So the truth is, we're constantly doing it, whether we acknowledge it or not. So the cost is astronomical if we don't develop our skill set.
Yeah, it's interesting. I love your example. Boy, this has been so good that we want to have you back for a second part. Can we do that, Della Toro?
I'd be honored.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about some of the things that people could probably apply right now to take their presentation skills to the next level. As you say, you make such a great point when you're talking about everybody has these fears, and some of them are unfounded, but also the fact that, you know, whether you're a waiter or a waitress, that's a great example, you're still dealing with the public, you're still speaking, and there's just so many, many misconceptions. So this has been fantastic, Greg. We're going to bring Della Toro back for another edition of Forbes Books at Bedtime.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.